Welcome everybody to the Pacifist. We do not know everything. We cannot know everything. This is the basis of skepticism, I think. Because a lot of people talk about how they're skeptical, and they're skeptical of this, and they're skeptical of that. But what I've noticed in most of those cases, not all of those cases, is that that skepticism is very sort of dogmatic. It's skeptical because it's attempting to prove a point rather than actually being skeptical. And it's really interesting to consider that, because if you take what I say is correct, which you can take it or leave it, but you can look at different people and see this happening, but if you take this to be correct and you realize that, like, skepticism, the way most people practice skepticism is not actually being skeptical. It's only being partially skeptical. They won't be skeptical about their own ideas. Their own, you know, like, if they're atheists and they're skeptical about religions, they won't be skeptical about atheism or something along those lines, right? Of course, we're not attempting to do the opposite either. What we're doing is something much more profound to me, which is learning to suspend judgment. This is what this new episode is going to be about. Understanding Pyrrhonism, what I'd call pure skepticism, because... And the reason why I call it pure skepticism is not because I think it's better or more skeptical, but because it's actually being skeptical of all points and whatnot. Now, we can go into how reasonable it is to be skeptical of everything and this kind of thing, but really it's not about being skeptical to disprove or prove something. It's being skeptical to learn. It's being skeptical is using skepticism to suspend judgment. So, for instance, if you believe that the earth is round and somebody tells you that the earth is flat, you're going to be like, you might even be dogmatically opposed to that. And so you'll be like making arguments about their points, this kind of thing, right? And while I'm not going to argue here that the earth is flat, what a skeptic would do, a pure skeptic would do, would say, well, while the earth may be round, it appears flat because there's no curves anywhere. You don't see any curves unless you're like on a mountain or a hill or whatever. It appears flat. There's no curves that you can see, this kind of thing, right? And we're not doing that because we're proving that the earth is flat. We're doing that because we're suspending judgment. It's like if you were to have a seesaw or something that requires a lot of balance. And so you have a dogmatic person that's highly imbalanced and the balance is only in one area, and so this seesaw is like falling over and this kind of thing. Or maybe like something like this, like a balance, like a ship or something. It's causing flooding, it's causing problems in the ship because it's only one side is being used, you know, this kind of thing. Versus what we're doing here, which is balancing the ship, balancing the seesaw, so it's not tipping over. It's staying in one place. It's able to be equanimous. It's able to be peaceful. It's able to be in one place without having too many judgments or any judgments at all, right? it's crazy to me how many people struggle over things. What should be, what should not be, what is, but it shouldn't be. This is bad, this is wrong, this is incorrect. All these kinds of judgments, all these kinds of things that keep you struggling, keep you from truly being able to be peaceful and truly being able to be unaffected by the world around you and by yourself, this kind of thing, right? And so the skeptic is doing this not because he's proving a point, not because he's dogmatic, but because he is trying to suspend judgment. And to suspend judgment, sometimes you have to argue the other side. You'll most what I've noticed a lot of times in skeptics as well is that a lot of them straw man, and they'd make arguments in a sort of dogmatic way, like, oh, you believe that? How dumb, you know, this kind of thing, right? For instance, if you were to believe that the earth is flat, or the earth is round, and you see people online who are flat earthers, you might make videos about those people and be like, oh, these people are dumb, this kind of thing, right? Rather than actually going, oh, the flat earth could be right because of this reason. I'm not saying it is. We're not saying it's right or wrong. We're not saying it's correct or not. We're doing something much more profound, which is using steel-manning arguments that flat earthers could make to suspend judgment about the round versus flat earth. Balancing the seesaw so that you become peaceful. You enter a state of eudaimonia, which is what they call it. And it's really something that I find very useful to do. Because a lot of people spend their lives struggling over what isn't, or what is and should be, this kind of thing. And it really makes me wonder, are you really able to be skeptical if you're not doing this? You can be skeptical, but it's only partial, and it might not even be that, to be honest with you, because you're still very much stuck in this particular dogma, whatever it is. Religious people are skeptical of atheist points. Atheist people are skeptical of religious points. One side might be skeptical of the other side, but they might even be skeptical of the other side in a skeptical way, but in a dogmatic way, meaning that they're not even skeptic. You could be skeptical of a point and disagree with it, but not be dogmatic about it. This kind of thing. What we're doing here is even more profound, which is learning to suspend judgment. Now, this doesn't mean that you have no... There's a sort of mistake that can be made. I never read a mistake, but a thing that can be done where you can say, well, if you're suspending all judgment, does that mean that you are disproving that, reality is real, this kind of thing, right? And it comes down to how utilitarian is a phrase, how useful is a phrase, right? And it also comes down to simplicity in some ways as well. For instance, you could be skeptical about the idea that honey is sweet or whatever. But if you taste it, you notice something. You may not know what that is, but you can notice it. You can say, oh, this seems to be a thing that exists. But you're not dogmatic about it, right? You're not getting stuck in, oh, this is what honey should always taste like, or whatever it is, right? And so you can acknowledge reality without getting dogmatic about it. You can even acknowledge things about yourself and this kind of thing without getting stuck in one or another. And learning to do this when it comes to yourself is actually, in some ways, even more useful. It's one thing to do this when it comes to, like, viewpoints, like, oh, vaccines cause autism or vaccines don't cause autism. That's useful as well, but there's also useful to do this in other ways as well, where, for instance, if you think that you are a failure as a person, you can look at times where you succeeded at something, even if it was something very simple, right? Things like this to devalue the original judgment. Suspending judgments about yourself and about others and things like this. Learning to become equanimous, peaceful. And it's something that I know most people probably won't do because it's kind of goes against, in some ways, the natural ways of the mind. But it is quite useful to do, to be honest with you. It's one of those things where you can think that doing this is going to make you dumber. But you find when you do this is that intelligence is not about thoughts. It is, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it isn't completely about thoughts. It is, right? We're using skepticism here as well here. But it's not just about thoughts. It's also about experience and a sort of level beyond thoughts, this kind of thing. Also, what I've really become aware of when doing this is this kind of like level of understanding truths. What I've really become aware of is that a lot of the things people say, a lot of the things philosophy has said, and things like this as well, are things that aren't necessarily literally true, but have some nuggets of what you could call metaphorical or less literal truths that can still be useful to understand this kind of thing, right? Like, for instance, to give an example, Schopenhauer's idea of will as representation may not necessarily be literally true, but the ideas themselves within it, the understandings that you can get from this, can help you to understand why people suffer and what is actually suffering and why this is happening, this kind of thing. This kind of thing, right? And so you're focused less on literal truths and focused more on, I don't even know if you could call it metaphorical truths, because it's not necessarily a metaphor. It's kind of more like if you have an idea and the idea is trying to represent something, you could call those representational truths. Truths that are attempting to represent something, but that may not necessarily be literally true in an objective, real-world sense, right? Keep in mind as well that what we're doing here is not disproving truths, debunking truths. I know I've said that multiple times, but it's easy to get that lost in your mind, with lost in translation, because that's the way the mind normally does this. We're not doing that. And also keep in mind that what we're not doing as well is we're not disproving reality. Really, that's the ultimate thing here. Because there are skeptical, what you could call philosophies that are skeptical of reality itself. Reality doesn't exist. How can we know that reality exists? That can also be part of pure skepticism, but we have to balance that with the idea that maybe reality does exist, and this is why this kind of thing, right? This is all about balance. This is all about keeping yourself balanced between these two extreme levels. You know, your mind may not do this. It's not something that comes easy to the mind, because the mind struggles. The mind struggles because that's how survival works in a lot of ways. A lot of ways of survival is about struggle. And so the mind will probably attempt to revert back to a place of judgment, a place of one idea over another idea, even if in a simple way. Like, you could say, for instance, to give an example of this, you could have an example like, oh, this is what you might want to do, you know, this is good for this reason, this reason. And that you could value that, right? And then you could listen to that. And that could keep you imbalanced again. Because now you're attached to another worldview, another understanding. Now you're going to be struggling to keep that in mind, keep that in place, this kind of thing. The way I think about this as well is, the way the mind works is, the way this works, I've noticed, when it comes to judgments and values and this kind of thing, is to keep a value, what you have to do is you have to ignore, deny, and argue with reality in order to keep this value, in order to keep this want, this desire, this should, you know, kind of thing. And what I mean by this is, let's say, for instance, you think the answer to life is peace, not struggling, right? Because this is another episode, this is another aspect of skepticism as well that's important to go into. So you could do all these things because you think peace is the answer and this kind of thing. And so what you might end up doing is you might notice other people not doing this. And so you might get stuck in that judgment aspect because of the value that you're really into. Or it could be any other kind of value. It could be something related to relationships or anything, really. It could be about a game. It could be anything. That's how the mind works. The mind is based in a lot of ways on doing this. In some ways, because it's how it's survived in some ways, right? And so we're attempting to include those ideas, but go beyond the dogmas of those ideas. Go beyond overvaluing, overbalancing one idea over another, this kind of thing. This does not mean we have to dismiss these ideas. Like I said, you can have a value, you can have an idea, but you have to be very, very careful about doing this. You have to be very, very careful about not doing, sorry, you have to be very, very careful about judging based on this value. This is all about suspending judgments, and honestly, even suspending values to some extent, in a lot of ways as well. I used to think that the answer was to have values, stick with those values. But I find that that actually creates more struggle and more problems for yourself and others. And so it's even about suspending values, because values is another kind of judgment, and just in a different kind of way. You could say judgment is like the negative version of values, right? A judgment is like, oh, this is bad, how did this happen, this kind of thing, right? A value is like, oh, this is good, I want this. Or this is good, this is what brings me purpose, I need this, whatever it is, right? Values is like the positive form of judgment, but it's still judgment. But like I said, we're not dismissing the ideas behind those values. The ideas themselves might be useful. We're just not making them values or judgments. we're learning to suspend those values and judgments if we can, right? We can still include them, right? But we're not overbalancing on those values and judgments. It sounds harder than it is. Really, it's not that hard to do. It's more about, honestly, a lot of it has more to do with practice than anything. You have to keep this in practice constantly in some ways in order to make this work. Or not, you know, maybe not. Maybe it's easier for some people than others. For me, it's easy for some things, but it's not as easy for other things. And those are the things that you might want to focus on most anyways, because those are the things that you're judging most, or you have judgments against the most, you know, whatever it is, positively or negatively, right? Values or judgments, desires or judgments. Same thing, different level, I guess you could call it. anyways. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you in the next one. It has been a while since I've done an episode, so I don't know. I might do a couple episodes today. We'll see how that goes. And I'll talk to you in the next one.